I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, wake up. She says, wake up, wake up. Listen, listen. Listen, listen. May the rivers all run free. May the mountains be unspoiled. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, wake up. She says, wake up, wake up. Listen, listen. Listen, listen. May the rivers all run free. May the mountains be unspoiled. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all.
Hi, and welcome to the Womb-Centered Healing Podcast. I'm Sama Morningstar, and before we get started with today's episode, I just want to share about some things that are upcoming in the Womb-Centered Healing Temple this fall 2019. I'm very excited about all of these new inspirations that seem to be creating themselves with my assistance. So the first thing that I want to share about is the first Womb-Centered Healing Temple in-person gathering. This will be taking place October 5th through 7th in California, Northern California, at Harbin Hot Springs. And this is a wonderful hot springs resort that has just reopened this year after being completely destroyed by fire 4 years ago. The pools, however, of course, the pools survived. They were not burned, and the pools are the most exquisite hot springs water. It feels like going back to the womb of Gaia and being supported by her amniotic love. So I want to invite any of you who are listening who might want to come and join us for this gathering. This will be a donation-based gathering. What that means is each participant, each person who comes to the gathering will be responsible for setting up their own accommodations at Harbin Hot Springs. And it's very reasonably priced, at least for this neck of the woods. And you make up your own accommodations, and then we will have a schedule of gathering, and you can make additional donations for the leaders of each circle. It's probably going to be mostly me, but there might be other womb-centered healing practitioners that want to offer a ceremony or a circle, and you can make donations to them. So if you're interested in attending the first Womb-Centered Healing Temple in-person gathering in California this October 2019, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can reach me through the WombCenteredHealing.com website to talk about that. The next thing that's happening is at the end of October, October 31st, will be the beginning of the Biomystical Womb 9-Month Apprenticeship. There are several of my students and temple members have been talking about wanting to do an apprenticeship, and I finally got the message, oh, that's me, that's my job, what I'm supposed to create. And so I put it out there. We're going to start on the 31st of October, 2019, and I'm making this first round, and I hope to continue to make this apprenticeship as we do subsequent years available to anyone, regardless of what financial contribution they're able to make. So that means that there's a sliding scale for making that financial contribution. And there are also many other ways to make a contribution. One of them is by becoming a case study for the Biomystical Womb book, which I'm in the process of writing. And so there's an application for that. And then the case study participants can make whatever financial contribution in addition to their case study contribution that they feel to, even none if they're not able to make a financial contribution, but only the participatory contribution as a case study subject. So if you are interested in learning more about this Biomystical Womb 9-month apprenticeship, again, you can reach out to me through the WombCenteredHealing.com website, and I'd be happy to answer any further questions. You can also find the information page about that Biomystical Womb apprenticeship on the website there. The third thing that I'll share about is an upcoming womb art online gallery exhibit, and that will be after the apprenticeship starts getting going. Womb art will be part of the apprenticeship, so we might have a student section in the online gallery, and there are also professional womb art participants that will be putting their womb art up. So if you're interested in participating in the womb art show in the temple, gallery show, coming up in November this year, please don't hesitate to reach out as well at, again, www.wombcenteredhealing.com. All right, and without any further ado, here's our next episode. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, and welcome to the Womb Centered Healing Podcast. I'm Sama Morningstar, and I have Alexandra Pope here with me today. So, Alexandra, you're the co-founder of the Red School, is that right? You have a collaborator that you founded with.
I'm co-founder with my wonderful colleague and co-author of our book, Wild Power, Shani Hugo-Wurlitzer.
Shani. So hopefully maybe I'll get to interview Shani one day.
Yes, you should.
Interview together even. Yes. And if listeners, if you haven't checked out the Red School and participated in some of their events and courses, I highly recommend it. And you have a webinar coming up. And is this just you, this webinar, or is it with Shani as well?
It's Shani and I, and we have a menopause live online course that's going to be over 6 weeks, and that'll start on October the 30th. And we've got this free call on the 18th, in which we're sort of introducing how to prepare for menopause, and then also talking about the content of the course, what the course itself will be about. So yes,
lovely
information.
Lovely, and so both of you are working on that together. Beautiful. And so I was really inspired to invite you to be on the podcast when I saw that, because I've taken some of your online, or at least one of your online courses, and really enjoyed it. And then when I saw this one about menopause, which is preparing for menopause, has been something that I've really engaged in myself over the past 10 years or so, as something I'm looking forward to in many ways. And not a lot of women look forward to it because their pesky periods are going to be over. That's actually not necessarily what I'm looking forward to, as I really love my menstruation. But I am looking forward to many other aspects of menopause. And I was also wanting to make the transition as healthy and easeful as possible for myself. So there are a lot of ways that I've been preparing both physically and emotionally over the years. And so when I saw this, I was like, yay, somebody's teaching about this, and I wanted to hear more about it from you and let the audience know that this is going on. I'm sure your course is going to be fantastic. So I'd love for you to introduce yourself more and introduce and talk a little bit more about what you're going to be sharing about in your webinar
I mean, maybe even just sharing about your personal journey and how you learned how important all of this is.
Thank you so much, Sama, for this opportunity to speak about this and about who I am and what I do. I have been working, I have a background in psychotherapy and teaching from way back, but I have been involved in this work of exploring the menstrual cycle and this initiatory arc from menarche to menopause for over 35 years. So I've really been cooking something for a long time. And this is, of course, what we teach at Red School, Shani and I. Shani is actually 20 years younger than me. So we sort of, she's, you know, still happily menstruating away, and I'm in postmenopause country. So, and she's a mother of daughters. And so we sort of cover the kind of full range of experience really between us, or a good range of experience between us. So I am 10 years postmenopause now. And it's really, and I've been teaching, I've been running menopause workshops for about 8 years. And for a long time, I, you know, women kept asking me for workshops on menopause because God knows I've been running workshops forever on, you know, all aspects of menstruality. And, but I just used to sort of balk. I think, how do I communicate, you know, that the enormity of the process that we go through, because it is this huge biopsycho-spiritual transformation that we go through. I sort of speak about the tectonic plates of our soul, you know, shifting, you know, the deep underground forces and the implications of that, you know, in our lived expression of our lives and what we're choosing to do. I thought, how do I contain that in a 2-day workshop? Or even, you know, I don't know, you know, because I was running 1 or 2 day workshops and we have a training too, but I just thought, how do I articulate, how do I give women some sort of structure, way in? And it was an Italian woman that kept pestering me. She said, please run a workshop. And in the end, I just crumbled and said, okay. And it was so interesting. The moment I said, okay, I felt as though menopause, I was of course post-menopause myself, but I felt the sort of consciousness of menopause starting to organize me. And then ideas started to come and I could suddenly start to see a kind of order, a template, you know, to the sort of the subtle infrastructure, if you like, of menopause itself. And so I began teaching. And then in the act of teaching, it's this lovely dance that happens. And you probably know this really, really well because you're a teacher too, of you share something and then the feedback from that and women's response to it and their lived experiences coming back to you, and then my digesting of that within my own story and the other stories that I've heard. And it's like this, something starts to form. It's an extraordinary process. You suddenly see something emerge, a kind of, what I did see emerge was this sort of extraordinary infrastructure, this the architecture, if you like, of menopause, the psycho-spiritual architecture of what women are going through, started to come through. And this has become more and more refined and clearer to me. And the other thing that's really important I want to name here is that I feel as though the times that we live in are organizing us all, obviously, and in particular for myself, they're organizing me in terms of what comes out is to serve these times. So I feel that what is emerging for me about menopause now is about how the importance of postmenopause women for the world and how the menopause itself prepares us to step up to a new level of authority and leadership. And it's the kind of leadership I think that's really needed in the world today. I mean, we can circle back to that as another conversation later on. So it feels as though, you know, there's a kind of fresh honing of something or sharpening coming through that I articulate. But in terms of preparation, you brought up this thing of preparation, you spoke as though you've been preparing for menopause. Well, I have some really interesting thoughts on this.
Okay.
And I'm going to see if I can articulate them with you.
All right.
Menopause sits on a continuum that's initiated at your very first bleed, menarche.
Right.
It's not this sort of phenomena floating out in space that you suddenly bump into one day and go, oh my God, shit, you know, ah! No, there's a kind of ordered process that's delivering you to the door of menopause. So I like to say that you are prepared for menopause through the process of living your menstrual cycle very consciously, because there is a very particular, as you would know, psycho-spiritual dynamic that is going on in the menstrual month, the menstrual cycle process each month. And you are, you know, each menstrual month you go through a sort of mini workout that is like, it's like it's toning you for the moment where you arrive at menopause, so that when you do come to menopause, and I think you see you're probably sensing this, is that there is a feeling of readiness. There's also a feeling of, oh, I don't want it to stop. You know, I don't want my cycle to go, because it's about getting older and, you know, you're stepping into something new. So that's inevitable, you know, that women, it's kind of normal and healthy, really, you know, kind of go like this at change, you know, dig your heels in the ground. And, but actually in your deep spirit, Summer, there is a sense of you being evolved into menopause, and mm-hmm. the feeling actually that you have outgrown the cycle. You actually don't need the cycle anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting concept. Oh my goodness. I think that's the first I've heard that you've outgrown your cycle, that you don't need the cycle anymore. Wow, that kind of puts the cherry on top of the whole process right there for me.
Exactly, yes.
You know, and I'll just share about my process. My first Moon Mysteries course I took with my herbal teacher, Cammie McBride. I don't know if you might not know her. She's Northern California herb teacher. My Northern California people would probably know her. And she had a weekend Moon Mysteries, Women's Blood Mysteries course. And that was like, whoa, okay, big eye opener for me, because I didn't have any of that prior to that. I didn't have any of that information. And the thing that she said about menopause that really stuck with me throughout the years was that, well, a couple of things. She said that menopause is like the menstruation of your life. So it got me thinking about these cycles as concentric circles, or circles within circles, right? We've got the whole life cycle from birth to death. And all the different phases that occur, especially for women, menstruating women, within that cycle, birth to death, right? Then you've got the yearly cycles of the seasons. And then you've got, for menstruating women, the monthly cycles. Mm-hmm. And so the month mirrors the seasons of the year and the whole life cycle. And so the whole life cycle, menopause is like menstruation is in the month. And so, and then she went further to say that whatever emotional challenges or healing processes that your monthly cycle is calling for, that you don't address. And she referred to PMS or mood issues as needs that you have, emotional and psychological needs you need to address, whether that means making a big change in your life or communicating something with your loved ones or finding a way to address it, whether inwardly or outwardly, something needs to change. Some you know, structure, sometimes big structures of our lives need to change to address these things. And it's understandable. Life isn't set up to make menstruating women happy. It's just not, right? Our society and all the structures of life has been designed to just sort of ignore all of that and sweep it under the rug. And we don't like being swept under the rug. It's not happy.
Absolutely not.
Under that rug, it's all dusty, and you know, so we can't breathe. But, you know, and so instead of continuing to sweep it under the rug, she said, you know, it was like, okay, I get the message. If I sweep myself under the rug, menopause is going to be a big nasty thing where all the dust bunnies are going to come bursting out from under the rug and demanding my attention. And I really got that when she shared that. And that was over, that was 20 years ago. So I've had my eye on this. Okay. I need to be attending, not sweeping myself under the rug, not sweeping my menstruality under the rug. And so I continued that study and that exploration. How did my health need to be in order to have a healthy, vibrant menstrual cycle? How did my emotional, my relationships, what did I need to heal? What trauma recovery did I need to undergo? How did I need to change the way I approached intimate relationships? How did I need to change the way I approach my sexuality, my profession, my sole purpose? You know, everything to me was that my menstrual cycle was my barometer, if you will, or like my thermometer even of like, how am I doing with all of these things? And I even had an experience not too long ago where my husband and I had made a big life change, and we'd moved to, I'd been living out in the woods for a long time, and we'd moved to the big city. Granted, we were on the beach, and I thought that would be fine, because I'd always wanted to live on the beach. And I was getting these screaming hot flashes in my mid-40s, telling me to leave the city and go back to a place where I'm living now, actually. So, and I talked to a psychotherapist who told me I was going to need to have, you know, several years of gestalt therapy to deal with this. And I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to listen to this voice inside of me that's giving me very clear instructions. You know, it's giving me very clear instructions.
That was the therapy. The therapeutic process. You know, it's many things. You know, but it is a kind of inner coach. It's an inner guide. It's an inner therapist. It's all those things.
Yeah.
Well, you, in a way, well, not in a way, you have just described one of the ways the cycle prepares you for menopause. Mm-hmm. It's you're being, you know, when you're connected to your cycle, you're connected to yourself. And I always say your cycle is coded with your calling. It's coded with the essence of you, of who you are. And each menstrual month, you're getting insights into that. And you so beautifully described in the premenstrual time, you kind of get the report card on how you're going, you know, mm-hmm. the things that you, and you get on the things you're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're sort of failing, in inverted commas, in terms of your health, everything, all those things you very thoroughly listed. And if you attend to that, what that does is it just keeps you closer to yourself all the time. You know, the mm-hmm. premenstrual time's going, hang on a minute, darling, you know, you've strayed off, you've lost yourself, come back again. There's mm-hmm. a wounded there to care for. So you're building this a stronger and stronger container of who you are, and the knowing of who you are, and an attention to your vulnerabilities, your woundings, your sticky bits,
mm-hmm.
your stuff, if you like.
Yeah.
So your cycle keeps you close to that and attending to that. And you've obviously got to listen and pay attention and take action and so mm-hmm. on. So that when you arrive at menopause, you have some readiness
mm-hmm.
and you have a connection to yourself. And that's what I mean about feeling like you are ready for menopause, even as you sort of don't want it, you are, because you have grown. Mm-hmm. You've been growing and growing and growing through your cycle process. And now you have outgrown it. It's like it's done its job. Mm-hmm. And you're sort of ready now for the big final initiatory process. And when your teacher spoke of menopause as like menstruation, menstruation is this place of extraordinary expanded consciousness. And as you know, and when you tap into that, you tap into a kind of unitive consciousness. You can, if you're paying attention to your cycle and following, it is a place of this place of huge expanded consciousness. It is the spiritual dimension. And you can experience this sense of oneness and kind of belonging and deep knowing of who you are. Well, at menopause, you are actually stepping into that and in a sense remaining there, just as your teacher said. It is, you are now fully occupying that place. You are stepping up to serve a larger consciousness now. And it's not about you anymore. It is a real surrender of the personal, even as, you know, one's personal stuff is still alive and well. The way I experience it is, I have my little sort of egoic self pinging around here, but I have really, surrounding that, I have a much bigger sense that is enduring and sustaining of a deep sense of meaningfulness and a profound sense of belonging. And I talked about this actually just in another interview yesterday, a belonging to the soul of the world. Mm-hmm. So, obviously these are big things to say out loud. And, you know, it's a big thing to inhabit it, but it is also what it is. That's what menopause takes you to. Mm. So this is kind of the menopause process is helping you to stabilize in that expanded experience of yourself, and the world as one, Sama. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. it seems like this, with this stabilizing, because when you say those big things, it sounds like it would be easy to be unstable in that, to not know where you were, to not know how to navigate in such a big belonging. I mean, belonging to the soul of the world. I mean, I know that I've had moments of experiences like that, but it's hard to sustain that in daily life.
Jesus.
Because we, you know, somehow our daily lives sort of require us, and other people particularly, and social structures expect us all to sort of be these individual contained beings, right? And to have our own individual needs and preferences and egoic pinging, as you said. And so everything is structured around that. And so when we sort of expand out of that, I'm almost getting this feeling of this like bubble popping wider suddenly and encompassing everything. Then it seems like, how do you know who's who and what's what and where you are in all of that? You know, it feels like you could be here and over there at the same time, and that could be very disorienting. And so it makes sense that the menopausal process can be a bit challenging and uncomfortable if we haven't been practicing that.
Yes.
In our menstrual cycle.
I mean, what you're bringing up is just such, it's a really powerful sort of point you're making. I feel quite, it's sort of opening something up inside me as you're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and it's reminding me of another element of this transition. So let me just see if I can unpack what's sort of going through me, because what you're bringing up is very, very, it's a very good, kind of question, point you're making, and I want to see if I can land a response that's sort of coherent. You see, yes, you're stepping up to this expanded consciousness. But the interesting thing is that menopause is you are dropping. You step into a very, yes, sorry, bear with me, because it's so, there's so many elements and I want to be able to pace this in a coherent way. So the initial thing at menopause is of everything falling away. And a woman having all women will feel this. They'll just feel they want to get away from everything. They just need space and they just don't want to do normal life in the same way. And that is just absolutely right and proper. You need space now because you need all your, as much chi as possible for yourself, to be focused on yourself. And on the fact that you are literally surrendering an identity, and in a way, all those things you've just speaking about, you know, all the structures of society, all the kind of habits and processes you've taken on, some of which are you, but some of which are sort of enculturations and so on. And you are going to be, it's like a suit of clothing that you're taking off. So you're taking something off. So you are now naked. You are naked. And you are exposed to yourself. And there's no way you can be out in the bright lights of the world with this level of exposure. Now you're exposed to yourself, but you're also exposed to sort of the spiritual dimensions. And you're also exposed to your shadow, to the kind of darkness, and also the cultural shadow. And so if women understand all this and can give themselves permission to take space and to really hold their boundaries, then there's a very powerful kind of, I can only say magic that starts to happen, but this takes place over an arc of time. Now, I'm only giving you little, tiny little bits in this process because it's
right.
So much packed in there. And of course, our course goes into this in great detail. But what's happening is, you're really being exposed into the essence of who you are. Mm-hmm. So you're coming into a very intimate connection with yourself that really does happen if you can be patient. At first, it won't feel like that. But if you just give yourself the space and time and drop all that sort of focused linear goals doing blah, blah, blah kind of crap, because it'll screw you up now. I mean, it's useful at other times, but right now it'll mess you up. Mm-hmm. And be patient with yourself. You'll feel yourself coming to rest in yourself, is the only way I can describe it. And we're talking over an arc of time of, well, I think of the whole thing as something like a sort of 7-year arc, but the sort of maybe intense time, maybe 2 or 3 years, something like that, summer. And as you're settling down into yourself, you're coming into a very intimate place of connection. And I think this helps with dealing with that expansion and the fact that you are now connected to something greater, because what menopause does is root you in the utter genius and uniqueness of who you are. And you know, I often share this, but I would find myself going, oh my God, literally banging my forehead, going, oh my God, this is who I am. It was like a revelation to me. And I'd always been, you know, I'd done my inner work, I'd been doing my cycle awareness, you know, I knew I was following my calling, you know, I knew what I wanted to do, et cetera, et cetera. But it was like this fresh revelation. So real deep recognition of who of my limits, actually, in a good sense. Oh, this is who I am. I'm not that. I'll let other people do that. Can you hear the boundaries in that?
Clarity. Yes.
It is so good. That is one of the best gifts of menopause. That recognition of who you are, and then following on from that, an acceptance. And you must. That's key. So, and you can do it now, because you can suddenly see yourself and go, oh, relief. And you accept yourself. And you recognize, I'm not that kind of person, I'm this person. And that gives you this huge rooting into something and a kind of boundaryness about what you're about. And a recognition of what really the essence of what you've come to serve. Now, I really want to emphasize that this isn't a kind of a one-hit wonder, it's a kind of rolling phenomena. You know, you get real clarity. But I think now, you know, 10 years later, and these 10 years of really completely dedicating, because I gave up all my previous life, I changed everything, which is what you do at Better Pause, literally, jobs, countries, everything, and to set myself on this new course. Now, 10 years down the track, that I can see how things have come into even sharper relief for me. Mm-hmm. And that's the nature of getting older too, Summer. It becomes more and more distilled and refined, and there's a huge clarity, and it's quite fierce, actually. It's a real fierce, and it's as though I must hold this line and not try to do everything. Mm-hmm. No, because I don't have the juice anyway. Mm-hmm. And also, why would I do everything? Because I'd be rubbish at the things that I'm not good at, you know. You know, there are other people who have those brilliant skills. That's their genius.
Yeah.
And I've got my genius, and it's just glorious to be able to completely throw myself into my own genius, to recognize it, to celebrate it. I'm not going to be immodest about this. I know what I'm good at, and I love doing that and sharing that, and, you know, bringing out my particular brilliance, and then stepping back and letting another person do the other stuff,
right,
which I don't do. Yeah.
Wow, and you know, this so speaks to me in my process, because I like to do everything, you know. I that's been my challenge, is I just fall in love with every aspect of everything, and I know I am rubbish at a lot of things, and I started that process. In fact, I just started to enlist artists for things like logo making and banner, you know, graphic design and stuff, because I've tried my hand at that kind of thing. I'm an artistic person, but it's just, I'm not. And I I've had some wonderful artists step forward and offer beautiful work, and I'm like, oh my God, that would have taken me a year and a half, you know? Yeah. So you're so speaking to me about with this description of how that finding yourself automatically balances out that expansion. Because if I kept trying, that's true, if I kept trying to do everything and expanded, it would just be more things, and that would be all over the place, and I would get lost.
Precisely. Right?
So that narrowing in of who I am and what my job is and what I'm meant to be offering to the world, and really that clarity, that sounds delicious. And then from that, it's like that deep root allows the tree branches to expand as wide as and in as great a beauty of its particular species and particular flower and fruit that it gets to offer the world in a bigger and bigger way. Without that root, it would fall over and wash down the river, you know. So beautiful to hear you describe that. I had a question that came up when you were speaking, but you completely enraptured me with all of this. And so I'm seeing if that question is going to come back. Oh, yes. So the thing that I see for myself, because I've, you know, of course, in my menstruality, I've been attending to the awareness of myself that I've been growing with each month in preparation for this clarity that you speak of, right? And the awareness of my boundaries, and I've had this sort of premonitionary awareness around my relationships, you know, particularly my husband, of things that I kind of am willing to do or participate in now that I know I'm not going to want to do in 4 or 5 years time. And I've begun the process of communicating that and asking for what I need around these things and weaning him off of me doing those things, right? And gradually, but I can see for those of us who might not have that premonitionary awareness that suddenly it could be, oh, I'm not doing this anymore. And that can be very difficult for loved ones. I don't have any children, but I can imagine for women who have children who suddenly aren't doing what their children have become accustomed to, or other family members or loved ones or even friends that are expecting you to be a certain way. And I'm really curious to hear how you, how perhaps your personal experience of that transition of saying, you know what, it's different now, I'm not going to do all these things, and having to communicate that and explain that to people who may not be menstrual educators and aware of all of this. In fact, very likely are not, even though they're close to you. And, you know, I know I have people, you know, family members and close people that kind of get it. And then there's the ones that think I'm just doing some crazy weirdo stuff, you know, and have just bought the whole mainstream societal ideas about menstruation hook, line, and sinker, and think that I'm off the deep end talking about it all the time. And so I'm curious about your experience of, you know, educating people about what's gone on for you with menopause and all of that, even menstruality, who aren't seeking, but you need to educate them, but they're not seeking your education. Like, you have your students that come to you wanting to learn about this, and then you have the people in your life that you have to educate about it for your own.
Exactly.
They don't know anything about it, really. They don't really want that education, and you're kind of having to do it for your own well-being, right? How do you navigate those relationships?
Well, I feel you are answering that question rather wonderfully, actually. I love this thing of premonitory awareness, you know, this premonition of something. And you see, the truth is, I think women do suddenly get a sort of ding, you know, 3 or 4 or whatever years before. But if they're not sort of connected to themselves, they may sort of brush it over, you know, away. And
sweep it under that rug again. That's one of those things.
You know, you've clocked it. You've gone, oh. And I wasn't in a relationship at that point. My relationship had finished before then, although we were still very close friends. So I didn't have to deal with that in a relationship. But I did have I had lots of close friends, but I had one particular close friend where that friendship ended very abruptly. And I would tie that in with what, because I knew, I was living in Australia and I had my little premonition at 48. I had this thought pop into my head. I thought, oh, it's over in Australia. I have to go back to England. I've been in Australia 18 years and I'm self-employed, and how am I going to do this? And it did mean the rupturing of friendships, actually. And it took me 7 years actually to prepare for that. Mm. And so you see, you're, I think, about 48 or 49. So you're having these thoughts. I think all women probably have a version of what you and I are just talking about now, and should pay attention to it. So you've clocked this thing with your husband. And I think if you just really pace it, you will find ways to, you know, gently bring it in, mm-hmm. and to start to organize the field, if you like, mm-hmm. around this shift. Now, I'm going to give you an example, which I actually shared in another call recently, which is just so, it's perfection. what this woman did, an Italian woman, and she, you know, been at home being a mama. Her husband was a doctor, and she had two daughters, teenage daughters, and she was just starting back in part-time work again as a, I can't remember, a speech therapist or something. And this work involved her having to go to another city, and so she had time in the car, you know, 3 days a week or something like this, where she had this little bubble. It was just her in this car, you know, driving to and from work. And this is probably the first time she'd had this space to herself. And in that space, she realized things had to be different, just like you had that thought. And I'm so impressed by this, because she did this before she'd ever come to a workshop with me. So it wasn't like I had said, oh, you have to go and do blah, blah, which I never do say, by the way. But this was just her organic being, and she was honoring something. She made the decision. She came home, you know, she made the decision that she would call a family meeting. And she got husband and two daughters around the kitchen table, and she said, things are going to be different from now on. I am not going to be there for you in the same way. And the daughters squirmed, and they kind of joked, because they knew it was menopause. They said, hey, Dad, can't you just slip something in her tea? Because Dad's a doctor, and of course, hormones, blah, blah. You know, so they, you see, menopause, we are growing up at menopause. We grow up big time. And we want, especially our nearest, well, particularly our nearest and dearest, to grow up with us. The relationship is going to change. It is going to change, because you can't do the relationship in the same way, because you're going to be a different woman. And you want something different. And you want something, I don't know, I won't say what you want, because only you will know what you want. But you will want something different. And it will require, you know, because we all get into habits with relationships, friendships, and so on. And menopause interrupts all that. And so we're being reworked. Our relationships are going to be reworked. And we're going to come out at a new level of connecting. So in a sense, so she is this woman sort of signaled to her family, you're going to go, you've got to take more responsibility now. She was essentially saying to her daughters and her husband, actually, she wasn't going to be the sort of mama running the home ship anymore. She was going to have a life, actually, out in the world. So I don't know if I'm answering your question fully enough, except to say, yes, you're going to have these moments of clarity and awareness, you know, before you actually get into menopause itself. And it's like menopause is giving you the heads up. It's like alerting you. And you know, for me at 48, I suddenly realized, oh, over in Australia. And then I didn't say to anybody about this, at least of all my mother, because of course my mother yearned for me to go back to England. But I started thinking, how do I do this? Because it seemed impossible. And magic happened. I mean, over those 7 years, the kind of synchronicities I had with England were staggering, just staggering. And all sorts of sort of points of light opened up for me in England, and connections. And I started doing workshops when I would visit England to visit my family. And I started seeding things, and these seeds grew. So by the time I actually moved back, there was some sort of something in the field there for me. Yes.
Well, and that's the lovely thing that I'm noticing in what you're sharing about in my experience in these preparatory years, is that there's time. It might seem sudden. The realization might come all at once. And there's also, there feels to be not so much urgency as it was back in our 30s, when there would be a realization and everything, you know, you sold everything and picked up and went, right? There's more of like an allowal for the gradual process. That's what I'm feeling. And that's what I'm hearing what you're saying, is that
Yes, if I just come in here on that, because it's a very interesting point you bring up, because yes, if you're picking it up at about 48 or 49, these clues, yes, you've got time. And it's very important to pay attention, because the moment you sort of really get into menopause, there is no time. I mean, it's fierce. The impulse to just go, oh my God, it's over. I can't do this job anymore. You wake up one morning and go, I can't do it. And you walk into work that day, it's like almost in a trance going, here's my, you know, resignation letter. And it's so uncompromising, the spirit of menopause. You just cannot do what you are no longer sort of coded for anymore. So it can be, so you need to, so I had sort of laid the infrastructure
right
for that moment where I remember it very clearly with my psychotherapy practice. I built up a really good psychotherapy practice, and I was self-employed. It was really healthy and sturdy, and I had figured out what I was, you know, as a therapist. And then, you know, I remember this thought in a session. I won't go into the detail of it. And basically, I was in a session with someone, and I just didn't recognize myself as a therapist anymore. It was just a process in my head. And I remember thinking, thank God I am closing my practice, because I was close to leaving for the UK, because I knew in that moment, I cannot do this a day longer. You know, it would be irresponsible actually to my clients, but fortunately, I had been winding up my practice over a year, you know, preparing them over a year for the fact that I was ending, because I knew I was going to England, but suddenly recognizing, gosh, no, I cannot be a therapist anymore in that way. So if you pick up the early signals, you start to lay the ground. And then when the heat comes up, literally and metaphorically, you're ready for it. You know, you've got, and I just really want to affirm, you know, we've had a life. I'm really hoping that when women arrive at menopause, they have resources. They've kind of worked some stuff out about their lives, you know, because if you haven't, menopause will be really tough. But that you've got some sort of contingency plans, because, you know, for me to move countries and was going to require some money, but I was always careful. I had savings. I somehow implicitly knew I had to sort of build up savings. And I had a buffer in which I could allow the new work to emerge, because you don't want to walk into work the next day and go, here's my resignation letter, if you don't have a contingency plan, either other work you've been growing or, you know, some money stashed away or
right.
Whatever. Because so there are sort of two responses there. One is you do have time if you pick the signals up sooner. Mm-hmm. But if you suddenly find yourself in menopause, like really dropping into the heart of it, it's very urgent at that point.
Mm-hmm. So that's a real good message for listeners here on the podcast who might not have even been paying attention or considering menopause. Right, that get it swept under the future rug somewhere, right? That that it behooves us to pay attention to those inner signals that are giving us a clue about what's to come, and to listen to the messages from our future self, perhaps.
Beautiful, Sama.
Right, that, you know, I mean, I know I've done plenty of healing journeys where I go and interact with my past self to heal some trauma that happened in the past, right? Well, what if my future self is sending wisdom, visiting with wisdom in my dreams or whenever, and giving me signals and messages saying, time to do this to get ready or prepare this. I certainly feel that. And I feel very reassured by what you're sharing. I know that I've been preparing my husband for my eventual shift in profession, at least, and I've been demonstrating a different approach to entrepreneurship that he's learning from and learning to trust by watching me as an example. that he it's going to really help him, because I have a feeling that he's going to get to a place, and it might not be the same kind of thing as menopause is, but I'm sure that men have a transition too, that they go through into a different archetype of how they're wanting to live into their wisdom years. And so I'm kind of, I feel like I'm demonstrating and preparing myself and learning how to do things a different way. And he's getting more and more comfortable with that, hopefully before it hits the, okay, that's it. It's only this now. I'm not doing any of that other thing anymore. It's not going to happen anymore.
Absolutely. I love what you're saying, Summer. I absolutely love it. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Alexandra, for joining me and sharing all of your wisdom with us. I'm sure it's not all of it, but so much of your wisdom. And I'm sure that people listening are going to be very curious about your free talk, a free webinar that you're going to do.
I just actually remembered something there, because my mind is a slight blur, because I've been working on so many different elements of this course. Mm-hmm. And, but in the free call, I have a hunch we are doing the exercise where you meet your future self, your post-menopausal self.
Oh, wow.
It's an exercise we use in our menopause work. So
I had a premonitionary idea about that, didn't I?
I think you did, yes. But absolutely, you need to have a conversation with a connection and to listen to your future self. And she will speak. She will speak like she's speaking to you already, you know, mm-hmm. just coming through in these little bursts of something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sarah. I just love talking about this topic, but I just love what has emerged in this conversation. It's very satisfying to be able to speak to this level of depth and complexity of the richness of what's there in menopause. Mm. I just really want women to, you know, the subtitle of our free call is Reclaim the Dignity and Power. And this word dignity is really, really important now. I want women to feel dignified. I want them to feel the dignity of the process mm-hmm. in menopause. So if women do want to join the free call and to learn more about the course itself, if they come to redschoolmenopause.com, mm-hmm. redschoolmenopause.com, they will find lots of lovely information and also how to sign up for
lovely
the free call.
Mm. And then I'm imagining that during the free call you'll be sharing information about your 6-week course as well.
We will indeed. Okay. We will, yes. Lovely. So you can learn all about it then.
Well, thank you so much. And so I highly encourage listeners to hop on over to redschoolmenopause.com and sign up for that free course. And also, if you're curious about the womb-centered healing temple, you can go to wombcenteredhealing.com and learn about everything that's going on there as well. So lots of rich material and support for our womb-centered journey in life. So thank you so much, Alexandra. Any last words of wisdom before we sign off?
Well, it's this word trust. I want women to trust themselves because they are going into the unknown, but they've lived a life. They do know stuff. They've got intuition, and just to really trust themselves and to trust what comes up. Trust their inner knowing, because it's their inner knowing and their intuitions and their feelings that are going to guide them through menopause. But if they're not able to trust themselves, then they'll just feel battered. Mm-hmm. But if women can trust what comes through them, then they will find the path unfolds before mm-hmm. them. Mm.
Well, thank you for that. I'm just going to Let that sink in for a second. And I encourage all listeners to do the same. Take a few moments to really receive these messages of trust and inner wisdom. And thank you for listening in and joining us today. That's all for now. Until next time.